Not much separates Senators Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton on Iraq. Obama says get out now, and Clinton says get out right now. But according to my next guest, there is actually a very big distinction between the two candidates' foreign policy plans. In fact, Senator Obama, he says, is subtly offering the boldest foreign policy critique of any major presidential candidate in decades. Spencer Ackerman is a senior correspondent with the left-leaning magazine The American Prospect, and he's with me now. Hello, Spencer.
Hey, Brian.
So please tell me, what makes Obama's foreign policy so revolutionary?
Because he starts from a premise that no candidate, certainly not Hillary Clinton, and you could argue no Democratic candidate, even McGovern, has really been willing to say, which is in the midst of a foreign policy disaster, what are the roots of that disaster? And if the disaster ends, are there certain aspects of the American political condition that will remain and will, if not confronted, get us into further disasters? And this is summed up by a line that he starts using in various permutations in a speech to DePaul University in October, but comes to the fore in the January 31st Democratic debate, where he says he doesn't just want to end the war. He wants to end the mindset that got us into the war. And I remember listening to it and thinking, wow, that's unbelievable. I mean, first of all, saying, you know, you just want to end the war, you know, that doesn't really seem like, you know, quite, that doesn't seem a timid statement in itself. But saying there's going to be something that got us into the war and will get us into others unless it's confronted is really just what puts Obama in a class of his own.
So what is that thing and what is he going to do to fix it?
It's two different components to it. First, a direct critique of the Bush administration and foreign policy as it's been conducted as usual in the United States since at least the post-Vietnam era, and then something kind of meta beyond that. Basically, what he says is that I use the term dignity promotion. That's not his term, and I have no idea if the campaign likes that, and if so, I want residuals. But what it means is, unless you address people's grievances, and in the words of one of his foreign policy advisors, meet people where they are, not as you'd like them to be, about the safety of their families on their block, the ability for them to you know, not die of a preventable disease, to get potable, safe water, all of these things that we in the West truly take for granted. And then from there, providing the basis to nurture their not just human needs, but their aspirations for what they want. All that has to be addressed before you can possibly get to the question of democracy and making democracy meaningful and so forth. And that, the more I thought about it, I thought it would be a kind of snappy thing to call it dignity promotion, because his advisors constantly talk about the need around the world as they travel in places that you wouldn't expect, you know, foreign policy mandarins to go. About people wanting dignity. It's not telling people, as Bush did in his second inaugural, that there's one sustainable model of human progress, which offends the entire planet, basically, but that there's something that unites us as human beings, and that's the desire to put our heads up, be proud of who we are, what we believe, and what we want to accomplish. And if we meet people there, the Obama campaign argues, we have the possibility of transforming the world into a much safer and more just place. And tell me if you want me to stop talking.
Well, I want to just sort of compound what you're saying. Some of this you've credited to Obama, but it's also a product of his advisors. You mentioned retired Air Force General Scott Gratian. I hope I'm pronouncing
Gratian.
That correct. Gratian. Could you tell me a little bit about him and his past?
A fascinating person. Gratian is probably the only Air Force general, probably across the entire services, the only officer who's actually been a refugee. Gratian was raised by missionaries, I believe, in the Congo. And as he was undergoing decolonization over the course of basically 4 years, his family had to move around a lot, and they eventually became refugees and lived in Kenya for a while. And he's asked to run, in part, the air war during the invasion of Iraq. And he just thinks there are so many problems on the planet that require amelioration, and invading Iraq with no provocation will make them all worse. And, you know, when I talked to him, he had just come back from a mission to sub-Saharan Africa in which he toured refugee camps and tried to promote this. I'm going to mess up the details here, but he tried to promote this system.
we're not big on details, so it's fine.
Yeah, okay, cool. For potable drinking water, which costs like basically something like pennies a day, as a way to just immediately ameliorate people's dire needs.
Well, so,
and there aren't too many people in the foreign policy community who can just see the world through the eyes of non-Americans. And a lot of them, it seems, have congregated to the foreign policy candidacy of Barack Obama.
Let's talk about a specific scenario. Iran, for instance. How would dignity promotion play out there?
Well, I mean, the first thing you would do, as Obama has said, is, you know, meet with Ahmadinejad and the leadership of that country and see just what American interests would allow in terms of a new relationship with Iran, where, you know, we haven't talked to them for 30 years. We've flirted with overthrowing them for almost that entire time since the 1979 revolution. And what has it gotten us?
Well,
and that
didn't the president respond, and hasn't Hillary Clinton in other speeches said that the reason why we don't want to meet with leaders of countries that we are not allied with is that it gives them a respectability and it gives them a dignity that we might not feel they deserve. Isn't that the standard response?
It's the standard response, certainly, but I think Obama would reply that it doesn't stand up to much scrutiny. I mean, when you look at precisely, you know, that line of reasoning, we've done it for 30 years, and what has it actually gotten us? It's gotten us a more dangerous situation with respect to Iran, and certainly a more antagonistic one. And
well, but there's a lot of things we haven't done in the last 30 years.
Right.
That doesn't mean we should try them all, does it?
I suppose not. I mean, he'd really have to speak for himself on it. I'm saying that one of the things that underlies what he would call the mindset that got us into the war is that there are certain taboos about what you can't say in foreign policy. And Obama thinks to himself, that's crazy.
Obama has said that the security of the American people, he said this in the past, the security of the American people is inextricably linked to the security of all people. Wouldn't dignity promotion, something that I think sounds like sort of a nebulous idea, sort of a difficult to quantify pursuit, wouldn't this lead to more foreign entanglements under an Obama administration? Wouldn't this spread us even more thin than we already are?
Well, conceivably. I mean, it's not a trivial thing. The question is, what kind of entanglements, you know, would setting up or sponsoring, and this is not a proposal of his, I'm just, you know, thinking out loud, you know, some NGO, or take Gratian's example, of some program to get safe and potable water and filtration systems into places where there isn't any, be an entanglement? If so, I mean, you know, probably, yeah, then that would mean more entanglement. I'm gonna confess to a journalistic sin.
You're not wearing any pants.
No, I don't think that's a sin anymore. That's more like a virtue. But what I didn't want to do in the piece was give like laundry lists of specific proposals that Obama was going to put out there, because like candidates do that every 4 years and almost invariably they don't get enacted. What I thought would be more valuable, and I hope is, would be to introduce people who might consider voting for Obama to the people around him who help shape and will help implement his foreign policy and how they view the world and how they think about things, so that then you would have a greater framework or a more understandable framework for understanding why they'll be doing what they do if he's elected. Now, I could not tell you in many cases the form in which all of these different ideas will take shape. They probably don't know them yet. But I thought that if I were to just like list out a million things that he'd like to do, you know, I will just be, you know, proven wrong and made stupid and you'll have me back on the show to laugh at me, and I don't want to be laughed at.
We're planning to do that anyway. We do that with all our guests.
I'm suckered again. God.
Spencer, thanks for talking.
Why do I say yes to these things?
Thank you, Spencer Ackerman.
Thank you, Brian.
Spencer Ackerman is a senior correspondent for The American Prospect and a senior reporter for The Washington Independent. For more information about him, check our website, morefairgame.org.